Here we go for Thursday, the 29th of July. Roundtable brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions and approvals in as little as an hour, plus fast funding. Visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, diversity and inclusion consultant with the Diversity Agency, Andrea Barrett. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Also, our pal, John Torrey Jr., aviation expert. Hello, sir.
Hello, pal. How are you?
I am well, and thank you to you both for being here. Let's go.
All right.
We had some fun on Moore in the Morning this morning because we had an exciting guest, and we had somebody who called in to talk about that exciting guest.
You know, restaurants in general can use support in terms of tax reduction, utility reduction, and costs. I think direct payments to restaurants would be more supportive than this. People are out in numbers supporting restaurants. So I see everybody, you know, in our areas doing quite well with volume, you know, unless you don't have patios. So people, there's still a bit of reluctance to go inside, not as much as I thought. But I just think the government can, our local government can spend money encouraging businesses to bring people back to work. I think That is what I'd like to see Mayor Tory talking about all the time. It's encouraging companies to create protocol that creates comfort and not encouraging people to stay home for the next 6 months and work in their sweatsuits.
Now, that is celebrity chef and restaurant owner Mark McEwen on with Dave Trafford on More in the Morning this morning, talking about the announcement of Toronto's Dine Together program, an effort to get people back to eating out. And as Deb mentioned, the mayor was listening and called in.
You know, the notion there's no effort being made on this is just frustrating to hear that, and because there's a huge effort being made. And I talk about it all the time, about the need to get the downtown going again. And the program Dine Together is responsive to what the industry's told us would be helpful to them. And so it's frustrating a bit to hear Mark talk about it as if somehow we did this in isolation from the rest of the industry.
I think to kind of encapsulate those two clips, we have a restaurateur, well-known restaurateur, who has a lot of high-end restaurants in the city saying, I don't like what you're doing for me, which is essentially a Dine-to-go program, which has limited cost exposure for the city. I'd rather you give me direct payments. Mayor saying, we actually think it's a good program and you don't have to do it. What do you think, Andrea?
You know, I am a big foodie and I attend all the food events. I even studied hospitality when I went to school. I think this is a great idea. I don't think the city made this decision in isolation. I'm sure they considered the other restaurant and hospitality groups. This is a good idea to get people through the doors. The only thing I don't agree with is asking restaurateurs to reduce their price. Having two meals, an appetizer and an entree, gives people an opportunity to try new restaurants. That's what Summerlicious and Winterlicious are all about. You go out of your comfort zone, you go to different parts of the city, you try new foods, you support new businesses. And especially now, local is top of mind. We are so concerned about our local restaurants that we, as consumers, as part of, you know, our neighborhoods, we're going to go and support them. I think it's a good idea.
John, one of the things I thought was interesting in what Mark McEwen said was that he was surprised at how many people were prepared to come and do indoor dining, which would tell me business isn't as tough as he thought it was going to be. So should we not have any of these programs to support restaurateurs?
I think the programs are fine the way that they are, in the sense that they are voluntary for the restaurants to participate in. I think Mark even said that his own order reservation book is jammed. So and that he is, you know, that he's not sure he's going to participate in this program. So I don't really understand what the objection is. I think the thing that has to be remembered is we'd all love to see a world where we're back in our office towers and back in our downtown path businesses and all this kind of stuff. But these things in a risk framework have to be taken one at a time. So the pressure or the desire was to get restaurants open so people could enjoy the summer. And that's what the governments all decided was the safe thing to do. And it may come at the expense of the downtown occupancy being slightly delayed. But again, ask yourself, what would you rather? Would you rather all the office towers were open and then that was the risk we took and then we kept the restaurants delayed? And I think there is a need to get some people out of their comfort zone. And it might not just be about eating in the restaurant. It might also be about going in an Uber or taking the TTC or walking on the sidewalk with a bunch of other people. So no, I think it's good. And let's see how it plays out. It takes us through to like Canadian Thanksgiving. So I think it'll be good to see how it goes and the impact it makes.
It would also be interesting if we had data from all of the restaurants compiled at the end of the entire project and find out just how much it actually did help and how much it actually did put more money and more butts into seats, money into cash registers. You can see it's the pics now of this next story on our Instagram and on our Twitter as well. Toronto is installing centerline speed bumps at selective intersections, trying to cut down on collisions that result from drivers making high-speed left turns. It's all about the angles, people. New pilot project is part of the city's Vision Zero road safety plan, and those bumps are being installed at 8 intersections with the goal of encouraging drivers to approach the crosswalk at a sharper angle instead of cutting across the intersection diagonally, which obviously will result in a reduced speed. Andrea, we had 2 installed in July. Remaining ones will be installed by the end of August. Mixed reaction, I would say, from listeners today on The Rush, and I'm curious what you would think.
I support the Vision Zero initiative, anything that will save lives. So I understand that 18% of these are fatal. Every life counts. When I looked at the graphic, I didn't quite understand how, if you're making a left turn, you would encounter that speed bump. But if this is going to save lives, then it makes sense. Whatever we can do. I did notice 5 of these happen to be in Scarborough, which is, what is that telling us about either the traffic signals or the traffic patterns happening there?
Do you want to handle the thermodynamics aspect of it, Deb?
Yes. I got a physics lesson today which said the Newton's law that everything in motion stays in motion.
That's
and
right.
And that's why if you have to stop and make a left-hand turn, more of an L shape than a curve, you'll go slower. Thank you to our texters.
It's the difference between like a slider and a curveball. I'm not going to make it any more confusing. But John, I think you understand what it is, John, because if you have that speed bump directly in front of the crosswalk, what you're going to have to do is, instead of doing an arc through that crosswalk, you have to go along further and go at a harder angle, which is going to make you slow down the vehicle. So essentially, it's literally forcing you to slow down.
It is. I mean, unless you're like an expert drifter in my 86 Civic. But no, you do. You have to kind of slow down, square it away. Hopefully it draws your eyes down to look at it, which then makes you look at the crosswalk as well. Because I think that's a big part of why people get hit, is that the driver isn't looking. They're probably focusing on everything else that's happening. I'm all in favor of this. All these safety measures, I'm all in favor of them. I like the speed cameras, especially in the school zones. I like the red light cameras. I like these, and so I hope it works. I hope we get good data back. I also noticed the geographic distribution about it. I don't know enough about why they're going there, but I did notice that too. It's just interesting.
We're trying to see if we can get John back. We lost him there for a second. Yeah, okay.
Yes, I came back. You didn't miss much, but I'm here. Sorry. The phone cut out.
That's okay. We can move on to the next story.
We found out today that Ottawa has taken the next step in its proposed rules to crack down on harmful online content, putting up big fines if a firm like Facebook was convicted, if they were to go against the not yet prescribed regulations and legislation that the feds are proposing. Let's listen to News Talk 1010's tech specialist, Carmi Levy.
The sad fact of online nastiness is that there really is no way to stop it. You can put in place all the fancily named offices and officers and commissioners that you want. But we all know that being online, it's a massive, oceanic sized cesspool of content. And there really is no way for any one entity, let alone a federal government, to put enough resources in place to rein it in. So if we think that Ottawa is going to rescue us from all the nasty things that we run into online or potentially run into, we've got another thing coming. It's window dressing, really, nothing more.
So, Andrea, Carmi's pretty negative, as you can tell, on Ottawa's efforts here. Is something better than nothing?
So, Deb, as a mom, I'm sure you appreciate this. There is a lot of online nastiness out there we want to protect children from. You know, I want to be protected from it myself. But to think that the federal government can do this, it's a great initiative. But really, who can control what's on the internet? Is there anyone successfully doing this now? Why do we think that a Canadian digital safety commissioner will be able to save us from all the filth that is out there? Great initiative. I don't think it will work. Carmi called it window dressing. I concur.
Yeah, Yeah, and we asked the very question that Andrea's raised of Carmi, and in saying, are there jurisdictions that are doing it well? And his answer was no. But in fact, the federal government seems to have cherry-picked from a couple of jurisdictions where they're working on this. Do you trust them, John, to actually get it right? Or is this simply some pre-election posturing? Make us feel better.
I don't know. I mean, you sort of wonder what kind of teeth they're going to give this commissioner. I think that where Carmi's maybe a little bit over negative on it is that the goal of this isn't to get rid of all nasty content or objectionable things or things we just plain don't like. It's to police things that are already illegal that the content providers themselves are supposed to be flagging. And they mentioned the pornography sites in particular where people will write in and say there's an illegal video of a person on there, like a revenge video, an ex, you know, partner, and they're just not taking steps to take it down. So I think in that sense, if they have the teeth to give fines, it will work. But really, the onus then falls on parents and teachers and people like that to teach younger people how to avoid the nasty in terms of the legal but objectionable stuff. So I'm willing to see how it works as long as they give it the right amount of teeth and due process, of course, for complainants and companies.
Let me ask you guys a follow-up. It's sort of a two-parter. We'll try and get you both in before the end. But when you look at this story, do you not think that this really plays well, Andrea, on the scrolling text of an election commercial? And secondly, do you not think that these big platforms should be policing themselves?
Oh, Jay, what are you saying? Is there an election coming? What are you talking about?
That's news to you.
Yeah, I never heard that one.
Jay's so cynical.
I'm with Jay. Call me Andrea cynical. I completely agree. The timing is suspect, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, more than just a little. John?
I mean, yeah. I mean, in the social media news world, there's always an election coming, but I think we are seeing this stuff ramp up in a big way because it's likely that we'll see something in the fall. Companies policing themselves. Look, it took a lot of these companies in the United States until Donald Trump literally led like an attack on the Capitol to police themselves. So no, I don't trust them to do it entirely. I'm glad to see that there's going to be some sort of commissioner that can just step in and maybe yank the collar before the dog gets to the child, kind of thing.
Andrea, John,
you should be the commissioner.
No, thank you.
Major League Baseball and the internet. John, Andrea, thank you both as always. Fantastic.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Deb, appreciate you too. Tomorrow, a fun Friday program. We started too. Can't wait.
My last day of the 2 weeks.
Not a lot of time to bake a cake, but I'm going to get on it. My thanks to Mike. Our thanks to Donnie as well. We are back tomorrow too, as mentioned. Up next, it is your CTV Evening News. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.